My dad's best friend was Lawrence Tibbett after the war.
And what about Lawrence? What? How?
Okay, so when they came over after the World War II was over, they put all the troops on a troop ship, and most of them came into New York Harbor, and everybody was ready to party, so they let them out, and most of the soldiers stayed in New York for a while, my dad being one of them. And he didn't want to come back to Tulsa. He got a job at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City. He was a manager there. He had the credentials of being, of having studied at the hotel school at Cornell. So that's why he was able to get that job. And he was an amateur opera singer, my dad. So he would go to the Met, which was one of the finest opera companies in the world, to see the shows there. And I don't know how he met Lawrence Tibbett, but along the way he met Lawrence Tibbett, who was the main male singer for the opera. If you're a woman, they call him prima donna. So I don't know what it's called if you're a man, prima don maybe. But Lawrence Tibbett was the principal male singer at the Metropolitan Opera. And he was, you can go to Google and check it out. I think it was from 1945 to 55. And so they became running buddies all around Manhattan. I think Lawrence even sneaked him into one of the choruses, you know, on one of the shows at the Met. My dad got to sing in a chorus. I believe what happened was that Lawrence Tibbett suggested that my dad go to Paris to study opera. So after he spent probably a year in New York or a year and a half, he went to Paris to study opera. Then I believe he came back to New York, and he still was great friends with Lawrence Tibbett, and they ran around. But by this time, John Mayo, his dad, wanted him back in Tulsa to help run the hotel.
So did your father go to Paris to sing, to learn?
To sing opera? To a school there.
Of singing?
Yes, an opera school.
So he was that accomplished?
Mm-hmm. No, he had and Lawrence Tibbett thought he probably could go forward with it. Even getting into the Met, possibly, with Lawrence Tibbett's help. You know, as a background singer. You know, certainly not as a front man. But so my dad ends up coming back to Tulsa, where he met my mom, and then that's where that part happened.
Would your dad, to entertain your family in the house, would he sing?
Oh, sure.
In an opera style?
He would just launch into one of his favorite operas. Yeah. And he would have it set up on his stereo where the Saturday afternoon broadcast live from the Met in New York, it would be on every Saturday afternoon.
So would that influence you at some point? I mean, were you trying to sing like him and be...
Well, I didn't get his baritone voice.
No, but you probably tried.
I did not. And, oh, well.
Right.
I do some background vocals in my band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have a great appreciation for opera today, do you? Or you're not that interested?
I never studied it the way he did, because when we grew up in the 60s, we were all about the music of the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which both my parents tolerated, even though my dad was an opera fan. They allowed all that.
So it not necessarily today you'd go to an opera, just...
I've been to some, sure. In fact, the Tulsa Opera Company has put on performances at Tulsa Theater, not recently, but...
So this is why you've got music in your veins.
It is true.
From your father.
Yep. And his mother was a music teacher at Tulsa Public Schools.
There you go. Wow. Do you remember the name?
Lillian Van Blarkum was her name.
These teachers need to be called out, be given credit.
Mm-hmm.
Your aunt, Marjorie Mayo Fagan Bird.
Yes.
And we have interviewed her for Voices of Oklahoma. And her father was John Mayo.
Right. So Marjorie and my dad were siblings.
Your remembrances of Marjorie.
Yes. She was always very proper in that old-fashioned way, dressed in nice-looking suits, almost kind of a formal appearance. She loosened up a little bit when she got older, which was more fun. You would go over to her house, and there would always be the smell of a pot roast cooking in the kitchen, and we would have Thanksgivings over there. And her beloved son, Donnie Fagan, we all loved. He had a great sense of humor. And unfortunately, he had a fatal disease that he ended up passing at about age 32. Hmm. And cystic fibrosis. Hmm. We all loved Donnie. He was also a musician, played piano. He was a few years older than my brother and I, so he brought a different, you know, genre of music with him. He grew up in the 50s where we grew up in the 60s. So he knew more about Little Richard and those kinds of artists that came through. But as far as Marjorie goes, you know, as a young guy, we didn't get to know her very well, other than we would spend Thanksgivings with her. And it was really Donnie, her son, that we knew, that my brother and I knew well.
So was there big family gatherings for Christmas and Thanksgiving and the whole game?
Usually at Marjorie's house, yes. And then the whole Mayo clan would be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have brothers, sisters?
One brother, Dan, yes, who was named after John Mayo, my grandfather.
Right.